steer the endless horizons. That toy schooner was gone now, just like Cade. And even though I held the real thing, this helm wasn't in control. Computers were. Jolfer steered my home with a fully automatic system. Decorating the entire front wall of the bridge was a mirage of blinking lights, buttons, and dials.
Nothing, sir.
Jolfer wiped his hands on pressed navy trousers. His light blue t-shirt was casual but ironed, just like all his navigational team.
Still on course for Morocco. The report for weather on the Med is clear for the next few days, with a minor squall coming on the weekend, but nothing to concern us.
I scratched my chin.
Good.
Morocco was my next point of call. A Moroccan royal, who was the second cousin to the king, had a love of water after living in a desert-prone country and had enlisted my help to build him a moderate-sized 8-bedroom yacht to entertain his close family and friends. His requests were the opposite of Ulrich's. Instead of weapons and torpedoes, he wanted sun umbrellas and priceless chandeliers. He also wanted a detachable submarine, which was fairly new to the market and well over $500,000, just for a tiny 4-person bubble to explore the depths. I would normally roll my eyes at such extravagance, if I didn't have one myself. I'd used it a grand total of 0. I would never admit it, but I didn't install it for recreational use, but for the hope of one day finding my family and having gifts to bribe affection. It was a fucking ridiculous idea. Celix arrived, squinting at the 10 a.m. sunshine streaming into the bridge.
Sir, the girl is showered and prepared as you requested.
Finally. It's time we discuss a few things.
Thank you.
Giving him a look, I paced toward the exit. When is our meeting with His Highness? Celix pulled out his phone, tapping on the diary where he recorded every deal, open contract, and agenda so I didn't have to.
In 6 days, we're meeting him in Asila at a local beachfront restaurant he co-owns.
My mind raced. Ideally, I would have liked to stop off in Monaco, where my boat builders were based, and visit the small house where I stored pieces of my past. It was the only place on land where I had a resemblance of home. But we didn't have time. The Mediterranean was a busy path of waterways and cruising congestion. We didn't have the luxury to detour.
I can arrange a small stay in Monaco once we've finished the meeting, if you'd like,
Celix asked, reading my hesitation to swing into port. I bit my lip, contemplating. What would I have done with Pym by then? Would I have earned the answers I needed? Would I have already sold her, or would she still be my ward? Either way, I needed to touch base with my managers. It had been a few months, and I wanted to visit the things I constantly ran from, the memories I studiously avoided. Yes, arrange it. Give us a few days in Monaco after this. Trusting he would make it happen, I left the bridge and headed below deck to see my silent stowaway.
Chapter 6. Pimlico.
Good morning.
Him again. My head wrenched up. I tucked the bloody dollar with its scribbled note that Elder had folded into a butterfly beneath the sheets. I'd held on to it all while my tongue was sliced. I'd woken from surgery with it gone. Dr. Michaels had placed the ruined money into the bedside drawer, letting the unfolded butterfly wings breathe with past pain and everything I'd overcome. It was morbid to clutch such a thing. Stupid to try to find comfort in something that had no power to grant any, especially when Elder's penmanship inked with the truth that he'd been willing to forget me, but for some reason went against his promise. Knowing he would have willingly left me didn't grant comfort in my current circumstances. Why did he return for me? What made him change his mind? It added yet another question to the bubbling cauldron, already taking up every nook and cranny of my thoughts. I gritted my teeth, wishing this episode of my life was over, and I was healed and strong and could demand my freedom before I went insane with questions. Now that he's here, I need all the strength I can find. My breath caught as he strode into the room, nonchalant and unruffled in a black t-shirt and scuffed jeans. Even in casual clothes, he reeked of power and money. His dark eyes caught mine.
Time to go.
Go? Go where? I had no idea where we were sailing, why. The only thing I'd been able to gather was I was on a ship. The gentle rock caused mild seasickness, but with no window to look out from, I couldn't tell if we were close to land or in the middle of nowhere. Elder stalked closer, his left hand in his pocket, as if preventing himself from reaching for me.
Come.
Beneath the covers, I scrunched up the dollar bill so he wouldn't see and cocked my head. I could take the notepad and write a question. I could finally communicate and ask where he wanted me to go. But old habits were so damn hard to break. A harsh sigh escaped his lips, answering me anyway.
You're moving.
My eyes flashed around the room I'd grown accustomed to. In this small, sterile space, I'd slept alone for the first time in so long. I'd been warm and comfortable, if not sore and healing. I didn't sleep bound on the floor or collared at the foot of the bed. This was heaven. I hunched.
You don't want to go?
Elder raised an eyebrow.
You'd rather stay in the hospital wing?
If it means I stay safe, then yes. My chin rose defiantly. He rolled his eyes.
Fuck, you push me.
Ripping off the sheet like he did yesterday, he muttered.
You can either walk or I carry you. Your choice.
I shot upright. The thought of his arms around me again, protecting me while threatening me, was too much to deal with so soon. I'll walk. My legs swung out of bed as I glowered. He smirked.
That's what I thought.
What was his deal? He was so gruff, so pissed off, as if I'd done something to annoy him. It was his fault he felt that way. I didn't ask him to come back for me. You sort of did. You begged him, remember? When he kissed you, you gave in. You willingly submitted for the first time. I scoffed, shutting down those memories. I didn't submit. I dove into pleasure I'd never had before. I gave in because I fully believed I was about to die and wanted to enjoy a splinter of normalcy between a man and a woman before I did. What was so wrong with that? Nothing. Just admit you liked him enough to kiss him back. Never. This man had intrigued me, but he'd extinguished any affection when he admitted I was his to do with as he pleased. He was just like the rest. He'd killed so easily. What was to prevent him from killing me once the novelty had worn off? Taking my elbow, Elder helped me stand. Air hissed through my nostrils as I struggled in his grip.
Don't fight me, Pim.
His features sharpened.
You won't win.
His fingers bit into painted bruises, reactivating the obedience Ulrich had instilled in me. I allowed him to help me out of bed, wincing as my warm toes met chill tiles. I wobbled a little, doing my best to stay standing. Elder didn't let me go, but his touch turned gentle rather than commanding. Dr. Michaels had removed my drip an hour or so ago, saying he'd give me real food once he knew the minor nausea I'd suffered wouldn't make me throw up. He said stomach acid on my tongue's wound would not be good for anyone. I totally agreed. I needed to be close to the doctor I felt marginally comfortable with. I didn't want to move in with a man who made my heart gallop when it shouldn't be galloping at all, not in its current condition. But he didn't give me a choice.
Come.
Dragging me forward, Elder's grip once again changed from gentle to unyielding. I shuffled forward, stiff as a plank and uncoordinated. Seeing as I tried to obey but struggled, Elder slowed. Cupping my elbow, he took some of my weight.
Each step will get easier. Another few weeks and your body will be able to move without pain.
I blinked at how wondrous that sounded. To move without shin splints, throbbing knees, and radiating bruises. to be healthy enough to exercise and not just stumble in servitude. Even my swollen tongue couldn't detract from that delicious promise. I took another step. A crooked smile danced on his lips, but he didn't speak as he slowly guided me from the ward down a long corridor. He didn't yank me forward, but he did keep a firm pressure, giving me time but bending me to his will. Together, we padded down the steel-gray carpet with a white monogram of the same ghostly logo on the stationery I'd been given. Damn, I left the notepad behind. The pen, too. But not my dollar bill. My fingers tightened, protecting my crimson-soaked secret. Coming to a stop, Elder pressed a silver button by a single set of elevator doors. He looked down, catching my gaze.
Pay attention. When you're summoned for a checkup with the medical team, you'll need to remember which deck to go to.
You mean, I'll be allowed to wander around unwatched? The thought was mildly terrifying. I'd had free roam of Ulrich's mansion, but the cameras kept me heeled tightly on my proverbial leash. I had no doubt Elder would have cameras too, but I didn't mind him watching me nearly as much. Why is that? He's still a man, still a dominating bastard. But that kiss... My mind flitted back to the kiss as the elevator dinged, opened, and Elder stuffed us into the small mirrored box. My lips sparkled as he pressed the button for deck 2, and we flew upward. The air in the lift intensified, crackling with awareness. Would he kiss me like that again? Was that why he'd stolen me? To finish what he'd promised the night he let me sleep unmolested beside him? Even if he wanted to kiss me again, he couldn't. I had stitches in my tongue. I was hurt. That never stopped other men. I glanced at him from the corner of my eye. Elder was a lot of things, but the more time I spent in his presence, the more I suspected he wasn't like other men. And if he wasn't like the others, how could I predict what he wanted? How could I ensure my survival if I couldn't mentally and physically prepare for whatever would come next? The elevator doors opened, spewing us out onto a new deck. This one had rose-gold carpet with bronze accents glittering from subtle wallpaper and pretty sconces on the wall. It reeked of classical money and award-winning interior design. Elder let me go, marching ahead, expecting me to follow. My bare feet sank into welcoming carpet, whispering of happiness and a future so much better than my past. My pink nightgown that replaced the yellow from yesterday fluttered around my legs. It was a conscious effort not to tear the material away. I didn't find comfort in the softness, merely torture. Elder finally stopped outside a rose-gold door and opened it. There was no key or barrier, just an ornate handle in the shape of a clamshell. Striding into the space, my jaw fell open as I followed him. A maid jumped as she turned around with a plump pillow in her arms. "Oh, excuse me, sir. I was just making final preparations for your guest." Elder crossed his arms.
"The room looks fine. You may go."
His head remained high, his gaze locked on the pretty servant with blonde hair and not the exquisite room with its double doors leading onto a small balcony and cascading sunlight. She bowed slightly, placing the pillow just so on top of a mountain of identical ones on the bed. The mattress was the biggest I'd ever seen. "Right away, sir." With a quick glance my way, she dashed from the room and closed the door. Elder didn't speak. Prowling forward, he opened the French doors and stepped into fresh sea air. I craved to join him on the veranda and inhale freedom, to witness the rushing waves on the horizon and watch the gushing tide beneath my feet. But I didn't know if he wanted me to follow, if it was an invitation or purely for him. So I lingered, pressing my stitched tongue against the roof of my mouth, cringing against the pain. I peered around the boudoir. To my left was a sunken lounge, where a couch big enough for 8 people rested low enough to jump onto from floor level. An inbuilt coffee table had grooves for cups and racks for magazines, to keep things in place regardless of how determined the ocean was at disrupting order. A large abstract painting hung on the wall, and the bed slumbered beneath a canopy of pale cream silk, matching the elegant dark chocolate bedspread and ivory lace throw cushions. Once again, the scent of money oozed from every fixture and fitting. A dining table sat beneath a window beside the French doors, and a bathroom was visible through a linking door to a full-sized jacuzzi tub and a two-person shower in the same cream and chocolate decor. The richness of color was not lost on me after an eternity of white, white, white.
Are you going to stand in the middle of the room forever, or will you come here?
Elder's voice whipped to my ears with the aid of muggy sea air. My feet moved of their own accord. My entire body tingled as I stepped outside. I wasn't a mute with a butchered tongue. I wasn't sold into a new nightmare. I was just a girl standing beside a boy in the middle of the ocean. My shoulder brushed against his bicep as we stood watching the view. Sunshine tinkled like gold on turquoise glass. I'd never seen anything so beautiful. A million questions unfolded like origami in my mind. What is this ship? Where are we going? Why did you do this wondrous thing and bring me with you? But the answers weren't needed as much as the kiss of such warm beauty. I'd been denied the outdoors for so long that the slaps of water and the breeze as its fingers tangled in my hair was almost euphoric.
That was the first time you've looked weightless and not drowning beneath horror since we met.
I jolted as Elder turned to face me.
I like that look.
I had no snarky comeback, no inner comment. His gaze and the sublime view behind him mesmerized me. Gripping the balcony rail with my unbroken hand, I risked looking directly down at the churning sea froth as the sleek silver lines of his ship cut like a sword through the water.
I wouldn't get any ideas of jumping overboard if I were you. I'd be pretty pissed if you killed yourself after everything I've done to keep you alive.
My breathing stopped. He knew about my desire to die. Did he plan to use that weakness against me? Or did he understand why I'd entertained such thoughts? Turning on his heel, he murmured,
"Come, the balcony is yours. You can stand on it whenever you want. I'll show you around, then I have work to return to."
I trailed behind him. While we'd admire the ocean, a servant had entered and vanished, leaving in his or her wake a tray full of soft noodles, fluffy rice, and steaming potato soup. A carbohydrate avoider's nightmare, but to my suddenly greedy stomach, it was an oasis of delicacies.
You're only allowed soft food for now, but if you have a craving for something else, let the staff know, and Michaels will approve or deny.
His eyes fell to my hands. Between my fingers poked the butterfly gift he'd given me. His forehead furrowed.
What the?
Before I could hide my bloody dollar, he'd stolen it once again, his fingers swift and stealthy.
This isn't sanitary. Why the hell do you still have it?
I balled my fists. Because it was a gift. Elder shook his head slightly.
You want to keep it?
My eyes locked on the dirty money. I desperately wanted to nod. But then he'd win. When he talked to me about first times back at Oryx and created magic in my blood, making me want those things, he'd done his best to make me answer him. And I did. I'd replied. I wouldn't do it again, not when I didn't know what he ultimately wanted.
Well, you can't have it.
With a vicious look, he pinched the note between both hands and tore it down the middle. My heart blazed with frustrated flames, but I didn't let him see. Didn't let on that the destruction of something worthless to him, but so valuable to me, was so damn easy, and that terrified me. His voice fell dark and low.
I told you you are worth more than pennies, yet you cling to a dollar as if it's the sum of your value.
He tore the note into quarters with a sneer.
Blood stains everything these days, even wealth.
My gaze followed the torn pieces as they fluttered to the floor.
Was it the money you valued or the butterfly? It can't have been the scribbled note.
He tilted his head.
I don't understand you, Silent One, but I will.
His hand lashed out, cupping my jaw. I froze as his thumb traced the bruises on my chin, his gaze lingering on my mouth.
If it's the money, I'll give you 100 more.
I exhaled in disgust, curling my lip. Will that make you feel better? Instead of treating me like a slave, you'll buy me like a whore. His eyes narrowed.
It's not about the money, is it?
I tore my jaw from his hold, even as his fingers loosened to let me go.
If it's the gift...
He cleared his throat.
If it's the butterfly I folded, I can give you another.
My heart plopped onto the pillow-laden bed. How did this man understand me when I'd never spoken a word to him? He held my gaze as he reached into his jeans pocket, pulled out a money clip and peeled off a note. Swallowing was hard enough with a stitched tongue, but as his fingers tucked away the clip and stroked a fresh $10 American bill, I struggled even more.
I'll allow the silent treatment for a little longer, Pimlico, but fair warning, it will get old very fast.
His face tightened.
Especially when I expect answers to questions that are suitable enough for polite conversation.
I bristled. I couldn't tear my eyes away from the way he pinched the money and folded creases in preparation for whatever bewitchment he would create. The thought of another gift pacified me enough that I didn't bother with the broken pieces on the carpet, nor sniff in indignation at his threat. Leaving me standing alone in the middle of the sumptuous suite, he moved toward the table where lunch waited.
Come.
He likes that word. How often has he ordered me to come like a poodle since I became his? His command licked down my spine, doing its best to hijack my control and force me to obey. I obeyed for 2 years without a choice. Why would I want to trade one prison for another, even if this prison was color and sensation, when the last had been monochrome and agony? Fighting the urge, I straightened my shoulders. I didn't mean to antagonize, but I was done being a toy for a man too rich and powerful to be governed by rules and decency. If he wanted me to comply, if he wanted me to talk, well, politeness and civility was the price he had to pay. Shaking his head, he swallowed a growl. It wasn't anger percolating in his chest, but a rare emotion I hadn't seen in so long. Pride. He's proud that I'm standing up to him.
Please.
Hiding a roguish smile, he bowed his head, his fingers never stopping their folding.
That's what you're waiting for, isn't it? Come here, please.
My chin rose as I rewarded him with a step toward the table. His gaze fell on my legs, his smile slipping into a sharp cough of approval. Why did I get the distinct impression of an endless conversation happening when we'd barely interacted? Was this how animals introduce themselves? Body language and mutual respect? Respect. Another emotion I was no longer acquainted with. Respect for another person or for myself? How many things had I forgotten? And how long would it take to relearn? Pulling out a chair, Elder watched with a predatory glare until I came close enough to sit. I did so as gracefully as I could with my bruised body and waged war with what to look at. Delicious food or dangerous man? The soup curled with flavor, the noodles steaming with savory teas. But then there was Elder and his sensuous fingers creating a gift for me because... Wait, why is he making me another gift? The first he'd given me as payment for the night together, a night that ended in horrendous ways, but he'd still earned something from me to warrant his origami present. That wasn't the case today. Not only had he returned for me, stolen me, healed me, protected me, he now gave me rooms of my own, nourishing food, and most of all, the courtesy of letting me rest with no undertones of evil or malicious expectation. Is it right I accept another gift when he's already given so much? The faint whispering of folding linen paper hushed my questions as his fingers flew. Sitting elegantly, he didn't look up from his creation, but his lips twitched.
You eat, I'll fold.
His voice flirted with a sensual bargain.
Do we have a deal?
My tongue ached in upcoming agony even as my mouth watered. His fingers stopped folding when I didn't move.
Well?
He raised an eyebrow, looking from me to the food. Never glancing away, I carefully pulled a bowl of soup closer and picked up a spoon. It didn't go unnoticed that there were no dog bowls or forbidden use of utensils. Here I was a human, a girl. Here I was someone, not something. I just hoped it was the beginning of how my future would unfurl, and not a cruel game he was playing while waiting for me to heal enough for his requirements. Dipping a silver spoon into the creamy potato soup, I raised my own eyebrow. Keep being a gentleman, and you've got yourself a deal. He licked his lips as I inserted the spoon into my mouth, and struggled with the lack of robust taste or warning if the liquid was too hot. The doctor was right when he said he didn't know if he'd been able to save those senses. It took a second to remind my body how to swallow, and wince as the food slid down my throat. Elder paused his folding.
Hurt?
I wanted to shake my head, to give him some sign that I was willing to work with him while he was being so kind, but once again the safety mechanism of my past forbid me. Tilting my chin, I focused on gathering more soup and swallowing another spoonful. He didn't ask again, taking my willingness to keep eating as answer enough. Silence fell as he crimped and creased, and I ate slowly, trying to blow on the hot liquid, but unable to position my swollen tongue enough to purse my lips. After a few minutes, Elder spoke calmly but with a cold undertone.
You know why I came back for you, don't you?
I didn't look up, keeping my gaze resolutely on the soup. He wanted to talk. I wouldn't stop him. But if he was looking for conversation, he hadn't earned that yet. Taking another sip, I kept my head down but my body relaxed, hoping he understood that I was willing to listen if not participate. Sighing heavily, he continued in his cool timbre.
I returned because no one should have to live in such a fucking hellhole. I hope you know you'll never be subjected to those conditions again.
My muscles tensed. But what will you do to me? Do you intend to keep me? Free me? Sell me? My current position didn't petrify me, but the unknown future did. How long would he tolerate his boat being a convalescent home? How soon would he expect me to pay him back? And how? How will I be made to pay you back? Because everything in this world had a price tag.
Just because I've taken you away for my own doesn't mean I'm like him. I do expect things, the main one being your past and present. I want to know who you are. I want to know your real name, where you're from, and what you would do if you were free. I need to master you, Pim, but in a different way to what you expect.
I jolted. I ignored the mastering part, entirely focused on the word free. If I was free, not when I was free. I didn't realize how much I was holding on to hope that his intentions were honorable, and whatever we were sailing to might have ended with a journey home. Stupid Pim. I'd been given safety and sanctuary. I should know by now not to expect anything more, especially my freedom. That had been stolen, and it would remain stolen. I doubted it would ever be returned. I would be forever lost and go from master to master until I was too old, ugly, and broken to be of value. Elder didn't notice the way I huddled over my soup, doing my best to ignore the crushing disappointment and focus on how lucky I was. I refused to lament over things I didn't have when I'd been given so much. Biting his lip as he curled an intricate fold, Elder finished the origami, then looked up.
All of that I can wait for. For now, all I expect is for you to heal quickly. I want you to eat when required, sleep when your body tells you, and forget what he did to you.
Those commandments were doable. I took another sip before my stomach decided it had enough, and tiredness settled like a cloak instead. Elder stood in silent reproach. I sat taller in my chair, trying to seem stronger than I was.
Don't fear me, Silent One, but don't push me either. When I know what I want from you, other than who you are, I'll let you know, and I'll expect you to do what I want, but until then...
His fingers uncurled, depositing an impeccable sailboat origami by my broken hand.
I won't touch you. You have my word.
Striding to the door, he added, almost too low to hear as if it was purely for him.
I won't touch you for my sake, rather than yours.
I spun in the chair as quickly as my bruised ribs would allow. What do you mean by that? Pausing on the threshold, Elder said,
I have work to do. Have a bath, a nap, write, whatever you want. I'll summon you when I'm done.
Giving me a cool smile, he pointed at the coffee table in the sunken lounge where a black box with a gray ribbon rested.
Your notes to the person you call no one are all there. When you're ready to talk, you can't lie to me. Not after I've had the privilege of reading your darkest thoughts.
I swallowed hard. Those weren't for you, you bastard. My unbroken hand bowled as he bowed slightly.
Until we meet again.
Then he was gone, slipping like a shadow from the room. His presence lingered, giving me no peace. My anger that he'd invaded my privacy and read my letters boiled over as I clutched the origami boat. The urge to crush it was strong, but the memory of why he'd made it made me pause. He'd sat beside me and created this gift because he understood what it meant. He'd given me something of value, yet he'd also taken something of value away. He'd robbed me of my confessions. He'd read what wasn't his to read. Stroking the fine creases of such an intricate little boat, I marveled at how his brutal fingers had made something so delicate. If he could hold something so gently and twist common into beauty, then perhaps he wasn't like Ulrich after all. Maybe, just maybe, he spoke the truth when he said he wouldn't hurt me. And if that was the case, then whatever payments he expected in return would be paid, if not willingly, at least less painfully than before. As the sea rolled beneath my feet and the horizon welcomed with turquoise water, I forced myself to admit that this was just another prison, and he was just another puppeteer. But at least I was still alive. I would survive, because that was what I was born to do.
Chapter 7, Elder. Surely you must have a forwarding number. The woman on the other end of the phone was less than fucking helpful.
No. The home line was disconnected after multiple non-payments. We requested the bill payer contact us on 3 occasions and never received any answer.
Her huff echoed loud in my ear.
That's normal protocol. And like I've told you many times, we don't have any forwarding details or reasons why the invoices went unpaid with no further communication.
That was what worried me. Where had Pimlico's mother vanished to? In my experience, if someone disappeared, it was usually from bad situations. Either from committing a crime and running from the law. Was she involved with Pim's abduction? Or becoming the victim of such an incident, like her daughter? Ever since Pimlico entered her home number into my phone at Ulrich's, I'd bided my time to use it against her. The digits were as good as a treasure map to who Pim was. And if I could figure out who she was before I lost myself to whatever urges she manifested, the better for both of us. I wasn't good with secrets. I wasn't good with things I wanted but couldn't have. I wouldn't rest until I'd turned an inconsequential phone number into the truth. At least let me know the bill payer's full name. I'll do my own research, seeing as you're determined not to help.
Can't give out personal information.
It's an old account and of no value to you. If not the name, give me the address. She sighed dramatically.
Listen, like I just said, no can do.
God damn it, I hated technology. If I was in front of her, I could have subtly bribed her to give me what I wanted. With miles of ocean between us and a crackly phone line, I had no way of changing her mind. Is there anything you can tell me? She chirped smugly.
Nope. Have a nice day.
The dial tone buzzed in my ear as she hung up. That just fucked me off. I respected her doing her job, but being rude was not permitted under any circumstances. Bitch. I slammed my satellite phone onto my desk and swiped over a holder of pens. Fuck. It wasn't often I came up against brick walls, but Pimlico was buried beneath them. I didn't know her real name.
I didn't know the town she grew up in or any other details of her life. She poured her heart into her notes to no one, but focused only on her time with Ulrich. She never once mentioned a high school location or favorite club or activity. In fact, the only thing she did give a name to was Anne of Green Gables and her love of the show. I'd never seen it, but if it gave me clues, perhaps I should? Fuck, I don't have any time for this. And who the hell cared? She was just a girl, a slave. What drew me to her so damn much? You know why. She reminds you of... I clutched my head, tugging on black hair to rid such stupid thoughts. I would find out who Pimlico was, and when I did, I'd figure out who was responsible for her capture and treatment. And if it turned out her mother was involved in her captivity, she would pay. Slowly. Painfully. I would make her feel every blow and kick Pimlico had endured. I couldn't find redemption for myself, but perhaps I could find it for Pim. But why? There was that fucking question again. Why do you care? Why bother when I intended to keep her in the same role she'd been groomed for so many years? It wasn't as if I would free her. I couldn't. She knew too much about me already. The longer she was mine, the more incriminating knowledge she would have. So once she's fulfilled her purpose, you'll trade her for something else that benefits you? Why chase down her family and find out the truth if I had no intention of returning her to the life she'd been abducted from? The answers danced on the back of my mind, elusive but teasing, letting me know I was more human than I wanted to admit. More in tune with broken things than I ever wanted to believe after what I'd done to my own family and the circumstances that followed. Falling from grace and trading a home for homelessness had shaped me from kind to heartless. Ever since then, I didn't give a shit about anyone else. Why should I? I was the cause of contamination. Look at my hands, the same hands that had touched Pim and stolen her from her dead master. I snorted at how wealth had given me freedom, but imprisoned my skills with more money than I could ever spend. What the fuck was I supposed to do with that? Where had the fun gone from stealing when I had everything I ever needed? Not everything. Growling under my breath, I shoved aside yet more traitorous thoughts. Maybe that's why I wanted Pimlico's secrets. Because if she turned out to be as bad as me, if she harbored some awful confession that meant she deserved her fate, then that would grant me peace. Peace to stop butchering myself with guilt. Relief that even a girl in torment wasn't innocent. Because if she wasn't innocent, then it didn't matter what I'd become, and I could forget the shame that I could never shake.
Chapter 8. Pimlico. Coin of Seabirds was my alarm clock, wrenching my gaze open to a scene I didn't recognize. Where am I? Instantly my heart buckled its running shoes and prepared to sprint, to hide. Where was the white? Where was the mansion where my blood was spilled daily? Where was Master? He's gone. Dead. You're elders now. That knowledge scattered goosebumps over my arms, injecting me with adrenaline. Sitting up in the softest bed with the warmest blankets, I clutched the sheet to my naked chest as sunlight dappled the inviting space. Chocolate cream and lace were decadent reminders of who owned me now. The gentle swaying spoke of a warm body of water beneath me, rather than a cold mountain of dirt. "Morning, miss." A maid popped from the bathroom to my right, her arms full of the towels I'd used last night. I didn't want her picking up my laundry. That was my task. Who was I to deserve to be waited on? She gave me a gentle smile, scooping up my discarded nightgown from the floor. The moment Elder left last night, I'd done what he'd suggested. I'd drawn a bath, and while the tub filled with lazy bubbles, I'd gazed out to sea, clutching my origami boat, wishing I could somehow turn it into a larger vessel and sail far, far away. The kind generosity in which Olad treated me with weighed on me more and more. The kiss we'd shared, the way he'd watched me, his tattoo, his temper. Every snippet of interaction layered me with fearful hesitation. I couldn't stop worrying as I'd wriggled from the cotton nightgown. Up until now, I hadn't attempted to shed the gown, even though the itch to fling it far away grew more intolerable every hour. I didn't because Dr. Michaels expected a woman who needed to cover up after her ordeal, to camouflage her scars and pretend it never happened. The opposite was true. Nakedness had been used as a weapon against me, to strip me bare, to teach me I had nothing of my own, no value but the skin I lived in. My body was the only thing I would ever call mine, but in that simplicity I found power. I never had to suffer ropes or chains made out of silk or velvet, never had to suffocate in elastic or zippers. I was free. As the muggy air licked my skin and the warm bubbles of the bath crept up my legs as I gingerly lowered myself into it, I found some sense of normalcy after so much strangeness. I wish Elder had told me at lunch what he expected. Was it sex? Entertaining his friends? What would he make me do to pay back the delicious meals, vanilla-scented bedsheets and pretty maids bustling around keeping my room, the room he'd given me, clean? Breakfast is on the table. The girl brushed aside a sable curl that stuck to her pink cheek. Porridge with brown sugar, I believe. I'd never had porridge in my life. The thought of opening my aching mouth and inserting food for my mangled tongue to push and swallow was too much. I was hungry, but not hungry enough to activate more pain, especially for porridge. However, the maid didn't need to know that. I smiled. I didn't nod as that would be overstepping my communication guidelines, but I ensured she understood I was grateful. She moved toward the door. By the way, your wardrobe has a few sundresses and other nightgowns inside. Once we dock, I'm sure Mr. Prest will send one of his assistants to buy you more if you wish. One of his assistants? How many does he have? My gaze traveled to the walk-in wardrobe that I hadn't ventured into. I smiled again, knowing full well I wouldn't wear any of the given items while I was alone in this suite. If I explored the ship like Elder said I could, then perhaps I would cover myself for the sake of his staff. But the moment I was alone, I might have killed Ulrich, but he'd killed any remainder of the girl I'd been before I was his. Hoisting her armful of laundry, the girl grinned. You'll like living on the Phantom. It's amazing to wake up every day to a new view, new ocean, new port. Cocking her chin at the unenticing breakfast, she added, He told me to warn you to eat. The doctor, too. He sent some more painkillers. I put them in the drawer beside your bed. My arms ached from clutching the sheet. The mention of a new view had impatience siphoning in my blood for the girl to leave. I wanted to look out the window and see. Silence fell. The maid coughed self-consciously. Ahem. Is there anything you need before I go? A question. Those I couldn't answer. However, despite myself, my chin moved left and right ever so slightly. What the hell are you doing? Already the steely resolve to remain mute was fading. Was I truly so weak that a few hours of unmolested sleep and a kind face had me abandoning my crutches so fast? She beamed. Okay, great. See you tomorrow morning. She bustled out, leaving me in comforting silence and the freedom to kick off the covers and stride naked onto the balcony. After living in an air-conditioned mansion for so long, the muggy heat was an aphrodisiac on my skin. I wasn't cold. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't hurting from a fresh punch or kick. The sensation was far too foreign, and earn yet another lick of terror for what I would have to do to deserve such luxury. Looping my fingers on the metal balustrade, I let the wind be my dress and the sun my shawl. The view of lolling swells and the occasional sequin of light glinting off the epic blueness granted my first unforced smile in years. Payment for this would be astronomical, but I might as well enjoy it before that day came. 9 hours I was given. 9 hours where I relaxed in my room, dozed in the sun, wrote a quick note to no one before tossing it into the swiftly passing sea, and did my best to ignore the swollen tongue pounding inside my mouth. My other injuries took a back seat, barely noticeable after living so long with such agony. Even my broken hand didn't bother me now it'd been properly strapped. I'd often wondered if I'd grown so used to pain that I would miss it, that if a time came when I had no black and blue contusions, I would no longer feel real. I couldn't remember a time when agony didn't hunker inside like a gremlin ready to attack. Would Elder let me experience such a phenomenon, or was he merely curing me of Ulrich's misdeed so he could inflict his own? The sun had set in a blaze of orange glory, setting fire to the ocean in a patchwork of golds and apricots, just as a female staff member dressed in a smart navy dress entered my room. It didn't escape my notice the door had no lock and the staff attending to me were all women. Was that for Elder's benefit or mine? Her gaze landed on my naked breasts where I sat curled up on a chair 3 times the size of me looking out to sea. The suite was the epitome of luxury, yet there was no television, no laptop or key to the outside world, just the view, and I was addicted to it, obsessed with the moving scenery after being chained to a hilltop for so long. "Oh, I'm so sorry." The woman turned sharply, averting her eyes. The long-forgotten urge to tell her not to worry, to be socially acceptable and put her at ease, made my lips part. My useless tongue spasmed before remembering speech was not something it was used for these days. When her gaze locked on the carpet, I couldn't catch her eye. Grabbing a cushion from behind me, I positioned it over my front and kept my legs tucked up in tight modesty. I patted the arm of the chair, signaling she could look up. She did. Slowly. Her gaze landed on the cushion as her eyebrow rose, but she didn't say anything. If she wondered why I sat here naked, she didn't ask. Moving forward, she held out a small envelope. "You're summoned to dinner." Our fingers grazed as I took it. I sucked in a sharp breath, not because I was afraid of her, but because she was the first girl I'd touched since my mother. Tears dared to stab my eyes as I looked down and fought such idiotic hurts. Elder had given me his first commandment. I could curl into a ball and refuse to go. I could be the slave he thought I was and cower. Or I could remember how to stand straight, how to walk and talk and glower with confidence. I'd steal his secrets by watching his habits, learning him all the while he thought he was learning me. "This is just another test. I will not fail." "Inside is a small map of the Phantom. He's waiting for you on the main deck in the dining room." She sucked on her bottom lip before blurting, "He didn't mention a dress code, but can I suggest, at least, covering up a little?" I tore open the envelope and put out the laminated map of a super yacht. So this was the Phantom, a boat big enough to house hundreds of people. "He said he expects you there in 15 minutes. The girl took a step back as I stood and tossed the cushion onto the chair. She gulped, keeping her eyes on mine, forcing her chin high to avoid my nakedness. If she wasn't so nervous, I would have smiled. All this time, I'd been the scared one, the one holding her breath whenever Ulrich walked into the room, the one cowering in submission when he decided I'd overstepped my bounds. Here, in Elder's world, there was innocence still. Innocence enough to turn bare skin into an uncomfortable situation for his well-trained staff. Power that I'd done my best to cling to sprang to life. Beneath my bruises and memories, I was still Tamsin, still a girl who wanted to go home and hug her mother. Yet as I strode to the walk-in wardrobe and selected a black shift that tumbled over my head in a whisper of finery, I feared I teetered on a very unstable edge. My vulnerability was twisting. Changing. After 2 years of being someone else's toy, the same evil I'd been hurt with had infected me. I was no longer soft or hopeful, but hard and cynical. If Elder wanted me, I couldn't do anything to stop him. I just didn't know if I would be able to remain the girl I'd been, or if I'd evolve into a complete stranger when he did. Chapter 9, Pimlico.
I'm impressed. You found me.
Elder cocked his head, holding a small glass of clear liquid. If I hadn't watched him at Ulrich's and noticed he refused every drop of liquor, I might have thought it was vodka. Armed with the tiny piece I already knew of him, I suspected it was just water. His black eye slid over me with a lethal calm.
I see I'll have to order dresses a few sizes smaller.
I didn't stroke the black cotton encasing my body like a normal girl being inspected might. I'd had that stupidity beaten out of me. I stood military still, accepting his assessment. I didn't let him know that I liked how big it was, how loose and floaty. The black straps barely clung to my shoulders, as if apologetic to touch me, while the size allowed air to provide a buffer between my skin and the material.
You can come closer, you know.
Elder placed his glass on the wooden table. My fingers fluttered over the small map of his home. I'd taken a few wrong turns down luxurious corridors and peeked into opulent drawing rooms and suites, but I'd made it in on time. Taking a small step toward him, I glanced at the decadent spread of fresh grapes, watermelon slices, and crisp green apples on a platter in the center. Everything about this was the opposite of my previous world. Walking had been tiring due to my healing body, but I wasn't riddled with pain. The carpet between my toes was thick and springy, keeping me warm rather than paddling on cool marble tiles. If I were made to kneel in this place, at least my bones wouldn't splinter when the order came. He stood as I neared the table. I didn't look away as he reached forward and plucked the map from my grip. My heart hissed like an adder as I tracked his large palm, hating that I tensed for a hit and was almost confused when it didn't come. He just placed the map on the table and pulled out a chair for me. I didn't trust him. I didn't trust his calmness because I tasted the things he kept hidden. I remained stiff as I slipped into the offered seat, resting my hands on my lap. Wordlessly, Elder moved back to his chair at the head of the table. He'd positioned me next to him. The rest of the long table was merely a runway for food, not offering any space between us. Catching my gaze, he frowned. What was this? A game before the true fun began? A door slid open from behind me as two staff members entered and placed a bowl of green soup in front of us. Nodding respectfully, the head waiter said,
"Tonight your entree is cold pea and cucumber soup with saffron butter. Please enjoy."
Bowing, the staff retreated, leaving Elder and me to stare silently at each other. Neither of us reached for a spoon, not prepared to be the one who looked away first. Elder reached for his glass, raising the glittering crystal to take a sip. His powerful neck rippled as he swallowed, then cocked his head, studying me harder.
"Something's different about you."
I stilled. Was I not permitted to change? I didn't even understand what had changed. I just felt off. Not myself. I couldn't describe it. How could Elder already see it? Depositing his glass, he rubbed his jaw. The 5 o'clock shadow was darker, as if he hadn't shaved since the day we met over a week ago.
"Are you okay? Minus the injuries on your tongue, of course."
I picked up my spoon.
"I don't understand it."
He trailed off, copying me as he pinched the delicate silver utensil.
"But when you look at me, something's disappeared."
Disappeared? Was that what happened? Had my dependency on being abused been deleted? Had my fear vanished? No, the fear's still there. I checked inside for the remnants of the girl who'd been a pet, a possession. I still struggled, but Elden made me brave enough to look at him, rather than avoid him. The fact he let me get away with it encouraged me to be bolder, brazen. Was that what was happening? Had I finally had enough of merely existing and begun the process to claim myself again? A headache looped around my temples, squeezing with heavy questions. I don't know anything anymore. I'm tired. I'm lost. I'm alone. Even no one can help me figure this out. Angry tears once again tickled my spine. I spindled tighter, a shrapnel detonation just looking for an outlet to explode. I need help. I need time. I didn't know what I needed. But it wasn't him. It wasn't this life. It wasn't even kindness anymore. I'm past that. I'm screwed up. I'm angry, so damn angry. I wanted to take that anger out on someone. I wanted to rip and tear and scream at what I'd endured and what I'd become. My breathing escalated until my lungs burned and my entire body trembled. My spoon hovered over the soup. Soup I didn't want because it would add yet more pain. Doing my best to stuff down the overwhelming insanity brewing like lava in my blood. I need to leave. I need to be alone before I snap. Gulping back the tsunami of messy rage, I clamped down on my shaking and waited for him to say something, anything, to distract me from my rapidly twitching madness. But he didn't. He merely watched me with that deadly poise, noticing my shaking, my breathing, most likely seeing the fire incinerating my brokenness inside.
Take it easy. Nothing can hurt you here.
Wrong. My eyes shot to his as the lava bubbled and popped. You can. And you will. Stop lying to me. Tell me what you mean to do with me. Put me out of my goddamn misery. Elder stiffened, his body becoming ice calm.
Whatever you're thinking, it's making you upset. I suggest you stop.
Stop? When did that word ever mean anything? When did Ulrich stop? When did you stop? When will all of this fucking stop? A panic attack slithered around my ribcage, waking from its sleep to torment me. The soul-sucking terror licked its way up my throat, squeezing, clawing. My fingers latched around the spoon, the room etched with darkness as air became a much-needed commodity.
Pim, stop. Relax.
I couldn't relax. Not now. Not now the itchy panic had multiplied in size and dribbled into my belly as well as my throat. I flinched as Elder leaned toward me. I gasped as he narrowed his eyes.
Talk to me. Tell me what you're dealing with.
My spine shot stiff. Tell you. Speak to you. Why? You won't understand. You won't help. Stampeding tears blurred the world, making him dance and jig.
Okay, if you're determined not to talk, what do you need? I've given you food and clothing. I've given you a bed and peace. What more do you fucking want from me?
His roar hacked through my whirlpool of hysteria, dragging me back from the suffocating clouds. Pointing at my quaking body, he snarled.
You're acting as if this is a torture session. It's not. It's just dinner. Remember those? When people talk over food and answer questions when asked? Fuck, Pim. Stop looking at me as if I'm him. I'm not fucking him. Got it?
My gaze turned sniper sharp. Contorted snowflakes filled the holes left by my panic attack. Excuse me if I'm not comfortable. Excuse me if I struggle to see only dinner and not a game to play. Excuse me if I'm not eloquent and your perfect guest. Elder rolled his eyes.
While we're on the topic of normal behavior, let's talk about that dress. It's a goddamn sack on you. You need to eat, and I'll buy you better-fitting clothes. Just because you were a slave doesn't mean you have to look like one.
Air hissed through my nose. Snowflakes turned to ice picks, dying to stab him over and over again. How dare you? My skinniness is abhorrent to you. Why fucking rescue me, then? Elder continued, his own anger blind to mine.
He might have starved and beaten you, Silent One, but I expect you to resemble a woman, not an animal. Next time we're in port, I'll arrange for underwear and other clothing. But in the meantime, I expect you to trust what I goddamn say and stop flinching whenever I raise my arm and speak to me. Fucking get over your silence and grow up.
My back locked in revulsion. I'm an animal now. My panic attack switched to an erupting volcano of hate. I'll show you what an animal I am. I won't grow up. I am grown up. I'm older than you'll ever be. And if you try to make me wear underwire and tight lace after a lifetime of scars and bruises, I'll kill you. My teeth ground tighter. You hear me? You want me to wear tight clothing? You want to destroy me? No. Rashness overrode my brain. My hand soared up, yanking off the strap clinging loosely to my shoulder. It slid down and down. My fear-hardening nipple was the only thing that kept the weightless garment from revealing my full breast. Elder froze, his gaze locking onto the bruised skin.
Christ, what are you doing?
I bared my teeth. Being an animal.
Fuck, you really don't understand, do you?
Smooth as syrup, he leaned forward and plucked the strap from my elbow. His fingernails threatened my paper-thin skin, slipping the strap slowly, ever so slowly, up my arm to rest on the hollow of my neck and shoulder. His face was obsidian with no sign of light or sanity.
Don't push me. I warned you, Pim. I'm doing my best around you, but if you pull a fucking stunt like that again, I won't be responsible for my actions.
His palm cut my shoulder, his flesh kissing my flesh. His face came millimeters from mine.
Whatever issues you're going through, don't take them out on me. Otherwise, I'll have to return the favor and take my issues out on you.
He chuckled with black undertones.
And if I do that, you'll know the truth about me. You'll know that Ulrich was playing make-believe while I'm the true villain.
Saliva dried up. My tongue swelled with pain. For the first time, I believed what he said. For the first time, he didn't hide whatever he battled. He let me look inside him, and I didn't like what I saw. He wasn't a gentleman. He wasn't refined. He was chaos and uncultured, and dying to be free to invoke whatever calamity he needed to inflict. No. Goosebumps scattered as his fingers stroked my shoulder, reminding me he still held me, still owned me. Terror transformed to horror as my eyes flickered from his lips to his gaze. He didn't move, letting me draw my own conclusions, to read between the lines of what he would never say. But I felt every word, every threat, and it didn't pacify me. It made me want to bolt from the room and throw myself into the sea. Running his finger under the strap, he bent and kissed my shoulder. He touched me before. He'd kissed me. Yet that simple readjustment of my clothes was more erotic than anything we'd ever done.
You still want to go to war with me, Silent Mouse?
Elder leaned back in his chair, making the ornate wood creak with his large bulk. Don't call me Mouse.
Are you so repulsed by me that you're willing to push me until I push back? Is it so bad to be cared for when the entire time I give you sanctuary, I won't take so much more in return?
I stopped breathing. He buffed his fingernails on his t-shirt.
I didn't want to have to